Amen. You're already quiet on me. Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to ask you a question, preach for a little while tonight in the form of a question, and I'd like to know what's behind the mask. What is behind the mask? What's behind your mask? Come on here now. What's behind the mask? Would you help me pray one more time? Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We bless you for the opportunity to be in this service, God, among your people. We need you so desperately. Pass by and to help us right here in this place tonight. Lord, we know that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, and except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Would you pass by this way tonight, Holy Ghost? I know that in a congregation this size, it's going to be hard to keep everybody's attention, but I know that you can bring every thought under the obedience of Christ. Would you do that here tonight, Lord? Help somebody to find repentance. Help somebody to come clean with God. Help a backslider to find their way back to Calvary. In Jesus' name, touch a cold heart. We'll thank you and praise you. Stir your people to revival again, O Lord. Let us leave here better Christians than we were when we came. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Why don't you clap your hands and praise the Lord one time? Oh, come on, don't patty cake. Clap your hands and praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm not so sure how this is going to go, but I'm just going to try to jump on in. And I hope you'll get right in and help me just for a little while. Because I've got a feeling I'm going to need all the help I can get. Amen. I read to you several portions of Scripture that are probably familiar to just about everybody that's assembled together in this holiness camp tonight. The first passage of Scripture that I read to you in 1 Samuel, the 28th chapter, refreshes our memory, and it reminds us all of the tragedy of backsliding on God. It refreshes our mind, and we begin to understand and realize how that it is the end of a story of a great man of God. As a matter of fact, he was the very first king of Israel. He was handpicked not by a prophet, but by God himself. Amen. I would remind this congregation tonight that it was not Samuel that chose Saul to be the first king of Israel. Oh no. But on the contrary, it was Almighty God that spoke and said, he's the man that I want to be the first king over my inheritance. Amen. And we understand that when Saul was anointed king over Israel, that he left the presence of the prophet of God, and he went and he joined himself to a band of prophets, and the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came on him and he prophesied with the prophets. Amen. Understand that this ending of this man's life is such a tragic end, but he led such a glorious life for God up to a certain point. We're talking about a man that was no stranger to the power of God. We're talking about a man that was familiar with the anointing of God. Amen. I mean, we're talking about a man that could remember when he laid his head down on his pillow at night. He can remember what that hot oil felt like. Amen. When the man of God lifted up the horn of oil and poured it on the crown of his head, and it ran down his face and down across his shoulders. Oh, he could oft times remind himself, amen, of that calling and that election that God had chosen him with. And he was a man of God. Yes, he was. But we understand that he had some problems in his life. Amen. We find him oft times in places that he shouldn't have been. Doing things that he wasn't called to do. Making sacrifices and offerings. Amen. That he was not anointed or called. Amen. To offer unto God. Amen. We understand that it was because he was headstrong. And he wanted to do things his own way. Amen. Then I read to you a scripture about it. Amen. In 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, about a woman called Jezebel. She's no stranger to the Holiness Church. I mean, her name is synonymous with everything this world that in this last day. That name Jezebel has become to be known to stand for everything that's evil that would pull us away from the church. Everything that's wicked. Everything that's vile. Amen. I mean, there's nobody among us here tonight that named their little girl Jezebel. Oh no, there's some Joshuas here. There's some Sarahs here. There's some Rebeccas here. Amen, but there's not one little baby Jezebel among us. Come on here now. You know why? We've come to understand that she was probably the wickedest woman revealed to us in all the Word of God. She was a God hater. She was a Word hater. She was a preacher hater. Come on, she was a prophet killer. Amen. She hated holiness. She hated God. She hated the power of God. She hated the church. She hated the establishment of God's covenant with His chosen people. I mean, when we say the name Jezebel, it conjures up images in our mind. Amen. Of a wicked witch of a woman. Amen. With black eyelids and red cheeks and ruby red lips. Amen. I mean, she stands for everything unholy. Everything unrighteous and everything wicked. Amen. That we could conjure up in our mind. And then we turn to the book of the Revelation chapter 2. And I read to you the story of the church at Ephesus. I would remind this congregation tonight that it was John the Revelator exiled to the island of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. While he was there on that island, Jesus gave him some letters to send to the seven churches of Asia Minor. As a matter of fact, the very first letter that he wrote, amen, was to the church at Ephesus. Amen. And at first glance, when we begin to read, amen, this letter to the church at Ephesus, it appears that the Lord of glory, amen, esteems them very highly for their work's sake. Come on here. I mean, it looks like he's a patting them on the back, and he's letting them know that everything's going good. He commended them for their patience. He commended them for their labor. He commended them for their hard work. He commended them for their ability to try those who said they were apostles and were not and found them to be liars. Amen. He lifted them up and he exalted them up, and then, amen, with a stroke of the pen, Jesus, the Lord of glory, drew his righteous sword from his sheath and drawed it back and said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Oh God. And then we turn backwards, amen, to Jeremiah the 17th chapter, and I read to you a very familiar portion of scripture. No doubt the man of God was praying and talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost gave him a divine revelation, and from the depths of his soul he let out a cry. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and who can know it? And while he's contemplating on the wickedness and the deceitfulness of a man's heart, the Holy Ghost thundered from glory and said, "Ah, the Lord search the heart and try the reins, and I will give every man according to the fruit of his doings." Oh God, amen. If this thing goes like I think it's going to, I got about 3 or 4 messages to preach right here in one service. We got some catching up to do, amen. I want you to understand, when I think of the possibility of a backsliding heart, it's a very sobering, very staggering thought. Oh, just to think that a man's heart and the condition of his heart does not always agree and line up, amen, with the condition of his outward appearance. Oh, his actions and deeds. Just to think that a man or a woman's habits, lifestyle or routine may continue on along a a certain pattern, reach along after his or her heart has ceased to be in it. Ought to make every one of us here tonight set up and pay attention. Come on here now. Hey, listen. I want to tell you, I can look at you and I can see what your mask looks like. But I want us to get past the mask in this service tonight. I'd like to know what you hiding behind that mask. Well, we're going to go back to Lord willing. We're going to try to find out some things. Amen. About these individuals now. Webster said a mask is something that conceals or disguises. Amen. And he said the verb form of that word, or the words to mask, means to conceal from view, to hide, to cover over, or to disguise. Amen. Oh, I hadn't been in this thing as long as some of you have. Amen. But I've got sense enough to know it's easy for us to put our mask on and come to the house of God disguising ourselves as homeless folks, disguising ourselves as believers, disguising ourselves and making everybody think everything's all right, when inside there's turmoil, inside there's heartbreak, inside there's trouble, inside there's trial, come on, inside there's storms are raging, inside there's hatred, inside there's bitterness. You ain't helping me, that's all right. Inside. I want to tell you something, friend. I've seen them backslide. And this year I've had two good friends, amen, that have thrown down everything they ever preached, everything they ever stood for, and they walked away from the love of God. They're still going through the motion, amen, but it's like a robot. They don't do it because they love him anymore. They don't do it because of a heartfelt desire to please him anymore. And I've just got a feeling there's some here tonight that's doing the very same thing. I'm just wondering what you hiding behind that mask. Something that conceals, something that disguises, something that hides. Amen. Oh, I don't know how this thing's going to go. I just don't know which direction I want to take this. Amen. Oh, God. We've got real good at fussing and fighting all the way from the time we start getting ready for church all the way to we pull in the parking lot, and then we'll put our mask on and come in the house of God. Inside it's a mess. Inside it's ugly. Inside it's black. Oh, but we're looking good on the outside. And when the preacher said stand, we stand. When he said smile, we smile. When he said say amen, we wave our hand and say amen. And we go back home carrying the same load that we was carrying when we came, because we never get past the mask. Because we can never seem to get deeper than the mask. Come on here now. Amen. Oh, just to think. Amen. Just to think that I can fool you. Just to think that you can fool me. Repeatedly. Not one time, two times, 10 times, or 20 times. But repeatedly, over and over and over, the scriptures give us warning of the possibility of a backsliding that occurs in the depths of a man's heart, even though he may continue to give the Lord lip service, even though he may continue right on, amen, in his lifestyle, or the way that he's accustomed to living. Amen. The scriptures teach us over and over and over, amen, that what's on the outside is
it's not always in direct relation to what's happening on the inside. Stay with me now. I'm going somewhere. Amen. Oh, just to think that there could be people here tonight whose love for God is growing cold. Amen. Whose desire to serve Him, amen, is fastly disappearing. Just to think that there may be some here tonight that's merely come to this camp and went through the motions, and you've came all week. You've even been in the altar, but you still hadn't got past your mask. You're still having to put it on to come to the house of God. Your heart still aches, and there's still an emptiness in the depths of your soul, because you know you're needing something from the touch of God. You know you're needing something from the presence of God, but you just can't seem to shake it. You can't seem to get free of it. You can't seem to get past the mask. Oh, God. We have become professional preachers and pulpiteers. How many knows what a Tylenol does? Tylenol ain't never cured or healed nobody. You know what it does? It masks the pain. Folks get a headache and take a Tylenol. It does not cure your headache. It don't cure the cause of your headache. It merely tells your brain you don't have a headache anymore. Come on here. It's a mask. Come on now. Hey, listen. We have got to the place where we are professionals and handed out spiritual Tylenols. Our congregations want a quick fix. Amen. An easy believism. And we fell into that trap. But I came to tell you tonight, there is no fast way, amen, to make it right with God. You've got to get in the altar and pray until you pray through. Come on here. Just because you jerk a little might not make everything okay. Just because you shout a little and holla a little, that might not be all you need. You might need to pray and seek God until heaven comes down and sets you free of that thing that's abandoning you. Amen. Amen. We conceal our feelings. We conceal our hurts. Amen. We conceal our worldly hearts. Amen. Behind our uniforms. Behind our mask. Amen. Oh, what a tragic, heart-rending thing it is to see a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, an organization or a movement, amen, begin to grow cold and stale in their relationship with God. Oh, what a sad thing it is to see folks just come to the house of God to soothe their conscience. Are you going to help me preach this tonight? What a sad hour we're living in. Amen. When folks just drift through. Amen. Set under wholeness. Anointed Holy Ghost preaching. And drift back out. Unconcerned about their soul. Unconcerned about their heart. Unconcerned about the needs in their life. Come on here. I'm wondering, what are you hiding behind that mask? Amen. Oh, listen. I've seen them over and over and over. They come through. They want a pat on the head and a good luck prophecy. So they go back home and feel good about living in their sinfulness. Come on here. You came to the wrong camp tonight. You came to the wrong church tonight. Amen. We're trying to dig around a little and see just a little bit deeper what's behind that mask. Saul. Let's talk about Saul. I mean, he felt the power of the Holy Ghost cover him like a blanket. He went down the road from his calling to where the prophets were, and he stood right in the midst of them. And moved to the Holy Ghost, he began to prophesy with them. Come on here now. Amen. Everybody knew he was God's man, because it was evident by the manifestation of the power of God in his life. Come on here now. Amen. But he made some wrong decisions. And he made some wrong turns. Amen. He did some things he didn't supposed to do. We fool nobody but ourselves. My brother, when we think just because we used to have it, we can continue to mimic it and go through the same form and the same program and the same things that we used to do. Come on here. Some of you still ha-la-la in the same old way you did 30 years ago. And there still ain't no power in it. There still ain't no glory in it. Come on here. I want to tell you, we claim, amen, to be full of the Holy Ghost. We claim to have a power of God. We claim to have a baptism of fire, Sister Caraway. And when we come together, 100 of us, amen, it's hard for us to pray a headache off. It's hard for us to pray a backache off. Come on here. Something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong somewhere. Hey, we're wearing a mask. Come on now. We ain't fooling heaven, and we're not shaking up hell. All we're doing is playing tiddlywinks with the devil. I don't know about you, but I'd like to get past the mask in this place tonight and get a hold of the glory and the power and the victory of Almighty God. Hey, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I want you to see him. Amen. He went on along his own course and he did his own thing. I am a firm believer that whatever it took for you to get the Holy Ghost, it's going to take it for you to keep the Holy Ghost. Come on here. The Holy Ghost is only a beginning. It is not an ending. Come on here. It's a gateway, not a goal. Come on now. I said it's a gateway, not a goal. He just fooled around, did it his own way, and it started catching up with him. The old prophet of God died. Saul's enemies surrounded the land, began to press in on every side. Ain't that just how it happens when a man's heart leaves the service of God, even though he's still wearing a crown? He still got on a uniform. His enemies grab him and start tearing him apart. Come on here. Devil don't care if you belong to New Life Holiness. Devil don't care, amen, if you go to the upper room, Church of God. Come on here. That don't worry the devil one bit, amen. Hey, listen, I believe the devil knows some of you better than I know some of you. I know he does. Come on here. He knows some of you better than you pretend to know yourself. Come on here now. Amen. Listen. Oh, God. Saul left the service of God in his heart. The old prophet of God was gone. He was dead. Hey, listen. He was gone. And Saul's enemies began to push in on every side. He desperately, frantically tried to get a word from the Lord. The prophets were silent. God didn't answer him when he prayed. Oh, what a tragic end to have the anointing of God, the power of God, amen, the glory and the victory of God. But when it comes dying time and you fall down to pray, the heaven's silent and there's no answer coming. There's no glory there. When your enemy begins to push in on every side, there's no fire, there's no power, and there's no backbone to stand in the face of adversity. I want to tell you something, folks. We can put on and make believe, but we can't even walk without him holding our hand. We need him. We need him every day. There is no holiness without the power of the Holy Ghost abiding in our midst. Come on here. One major organization recently come out and said, amen, that less than 50% of their members have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you that, friend, has ceased to be a Pentecostal movement. It's no longer a fire baptized church. Come on here. Come on here now. Hey, we have no right to say we're New Testament and we're Holy Ghost filled if there's no glory, no power, and no anointing moving among us. He fell down before God. But God would not answer him. Oh, Saul, what you gonna do, son? How's it gonna turn out for you? Oh, one brother preached, I don't want to die like this. Oh, God, that great man of God prophesied with the prophets. I want you to see him now. Hey, amen. There's deep furrows on his forehead, worry lines up under his eyes. That back that was once straight and the shoulders was broad. Amen. Them arms that was once muscular and strong. Amen. To fight the Lord's battle. Amen. To serve in the Lord's army. Amen. Now they're weak. The glory of the Lord is departed from him. He's a pacing the palace floor in the midnight hour. He's calling out to God, but God's not answering him. Hey, if some of you continue living the way you're living right here tonight, you're going to know what he felt like. Come on now. I said you're going to know what he felt like. Brother Staten, there's backsliders right here among us tonight that knows what it's like to be moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. But if you continue on in the direction you're headed, you're going to die like a fool, just like Saul did. Well, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Amen. I feel the Lord right here tonight. Amen. Oh, listen. I can see him. The heavens are silent and the Lord's not saying anything. So he calls his counselors together. Amen. He said, I need me a witch. I got to have a word from somewhere. Find me a woman with a familiar spirit. When you lose it, you'll start doing things you said you'd never do. When you stay away from him so long, your heart will get so hard, you'll fake speaking in tongues and it won't even smite your conscience. Come on here now. Well, I thought I was doing pretty good, but I don't know. Amen. I feel like I heard from the Lord for this last service of this meeting. What's behind the mask? Amen. Oh, God. We can make believe and pretend, but if he ain't there, he just ain't there. Come on here. Oh, I don't see how some folks come to the house of God and sit through it and get up and leave with the condition of their heart. Amen. The same old way it was when they came in and sat down. Hey, listen. I want you to see him now. They said there's a witch over in Endor. There's a woman over there that hath a familiar spirit. And the Bible said Saul disguised himself. He didn't want anybody to know who he was or what he was doing or where he was going. So he put his mask on to go over yonder and try to get a word from something. I mean, he had gone so far, some word would be better than no word. I need to talk to Samuel. I know it's necromancy. I know Moses forbid him the law. I know God said not to do it, but I'm desperate. I've got to hear from God. He disguised his identity because he had got so far away from God. He concealed his identity. He used deceit to try to get a hold of the Lord one last time. Oh, you know the end of the story. So let us move on to 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, and enter into the story of that wicked woman named Jezebel. You already know most of the ins and the outs of her life. How that she hated everything that had to do with holiness, everything that had to do with serving God. She hated it. She despised it. And she did everything within her power to destroy it. Come on here now. I have come to realize in traveling up, amen, this great countryside of ours, from revival to revival, that the spirit of Jezebel is still alive and well today. Come on here. I have also come to realize, Brother Timmy, amen, that it is not only a feminine spirit, but I have seen it in its masculine form. Oh yes, I've seen men possessed with the spirit of Jezebel. I've had preachers that I know had the spirit of Jezebel. Come on here. I've stayed in parsonages, amen, that had the spirit of Jezebel living in them. Come on here now. Jezebel's spirit said, it's going to be my way or no way. Jezebel's spirit said, this is how it's going to happen, and this is how it's going to be done, or you can hit the road. Come on here now. The spirit of Jezebel said, I will not give one inch. Amen. It's got to be my way or no way. Come on here now. Anybody else ever seen it had contact with the spirit of Jezebel? Maybe you're facing it tonight. Maybe it's in your house. Or maybe it's in your church. There's only one way to deal with it. Let us look to the example of the man of God, Elijah. He hit it head on. He never compromised with it. He never gave in to it. But he'd shake his finger in his face and tell it exactly what the Lord was going to do. Amen. Amen. Jezebel had wreaked havoc in Israel by the time we get to the 9th chapter of 2 Kings. She had turned the heart of a whole nation from serving the true and the living God to serving a dead, dumb idol named Baal. She got her way. She was a professional seducer. She knew how to do it. I know some of them in the Holiness Church. I know some Jezebels that would never put on a pair of earrings. Amen. Well, I'm getting in trouble. I feel it. I know some Jezebels that would never trim their hair. You don't have to wonder what I believe. Just get the tapes. I done preached it around here this week. I want to tell you, just because our mask says one thing, our heart can say something totally different. Come on here. I'm trying to get behind the mask right here in this service tonight. Oh God. I don't want to preach over top of it, but I don't want to miss it right here either. Understand, she stands for everything unholy and wicked that fights against our spiritual life today. Amen. I've already told you there are no little baby Jezebels in here. But I want to tell you, amen, I was reading in a book by Clovis Chappelle. He's a preaching on Jezebel. And old Clovis had me feeling sorry for her hide. Come on here now. He said when she started out, she is just a little girl like every other little girl. Come on here. She played the same games they played. She had the same smile they had. She had the same joy inside of her heart as every other little girl had. Jezebel used to be one of these. Come on here now. I want to tell you, I'm getting off my message right here. I know I am. I want to tell you who created Jezebel. Mom and Daddy created Jezebel. Come on now. Amen. Is that all right, Brother Matney? mom and daddy created Jezebel. Oh yes, they did. They're the ones that taught her how to be deceitful. They're the ones that taught her how to lie. They're the ones that taught her how to get her way. There was a time she was innocent. There was a time she had love. Oh, but by the time we get to 2 Kings, amen, she's hateful. She's mean. And she's wicked. But it wasn't always so. Come on here and help me a while. It wasn't always so. They taught her how to put her mask on. Come on here now. Amen. Ain't that what we do when something don't go our way? And we have a family meeting behind the preacher's back. And we talk right in front of our children everything that's wrong with the church. Everything that's come on here now. Hey, listen. I know I'm a young whippersnapper. And I don't feel like I'm just all that wet behind the ears. I'm in church every night nearly. And I tell you what my family's had to do. We've had to be careful what we say. Come on here now. I want to tell you, them little ears has got big hearts, and they're hiding in everything you say in the depths of their soul, and you are creating a saint or a sinner. Come on now. Amen. You're making them. You're training them. You're turning them out, and it's going to be your fault if they're Jezebels. I know everybody here don't agree with that. I know everybody here don't agree with that. They was innocent. But now, after years and years of hatred, years and years being mean, years of despising God, years of having it her way. Bible said Jehu was riding into town. Somebody seen him afar off and they knew it was him because he drove furiously. Jehu's coming! She left her window sill and run to the vanity. Come on now. I've seen pictures that men have painted of what they assume her to look like. I've seen her wicked and ugly and hateful. Oh, but I'll get another picture. She fixed her hair all up. And she put her mask on. And she sat down in that windowsill. To seduce Jehu. She was an expert in the art of getting her way. Some of you have become experts in the art of getting your way. You'd never use CoverGirl to do it, but your intentions are the same as Jezebel's. I've got to have this thing my way. I wish I could get a hold of this. Preach it like I was feeling it. Amen. Amen. She painted her face. She put her best face on. Fixed her hair up. And perched herself precariously in that windowsill. And when Jehu and his entourage arrived into town, a face so striking, so lovely, so alluring met them from the window that everybody slammed on brakes. And stopped. Come on here now. Amen. Amen. You can say what you want to, but I'm preaching tonight. I think she was a pretty good looker sitting up there in that windowsill. Why would she have went through all that trouble if she wasn't making herself attractive, enticing and alluring? She thought that she was going to grab the attentions of the man of God. But thank God everybody can't be tricked by a mask. Thank God everybody can't be swayed by a mask. Thank God everybody can't be fooled by a mask. Come on here now. Listen. Amen. I want you to understand. Jehu looked up there and it's a possibility that he saw the most beautiful creature that he'd ever laid his eyes on.
That's the way I'm going to preach it anyhow. Otherwise, why is she with you? Why did she go through all that trouble? I'll tell you something right here, just for the sake of argument, and maybe help some of these young girls later on in life. I have done an extensive study of the Scriptures on this subject, and you can go home and start it tonight and do it yourself. Never one time have I found recorded in all of God's Word where a woman painted her face to meet God. Oh no. It was always to impress a man. It was always to catch a man. It was always to entice a man. Come on here. It was never to glorify God. Well, you don't need that kind of preaching here. What's behind your mask? I want to tell you, she used artificiality to create an unnatural appearance. If we could take some makeup remover tonight, amen, and stand her up in front of all of us and smudge that mess off of her face, you know what we'd see? We'd see the same deep worry lines, amen, that was on King Saul's face right before his demise. We'd see the same blood in her eyes. Amen. That was in King Saul's. Hey, hey. Somebody worship God right here. Somebody worship God right here. We'd see the same devil a burning in her soul that was a burning in Saul's when he went down to the wicked Endor's house. But Jehu was not fooled, amen, by her extravagant mask. Who is on my side? If I was real bold, I could preach a little strip right here. Who's on my side? That's what Jehu said. Somebody throw that devil down. She's tricked a lot of them, but she ain't fooled me. Come on here. She seduced an entire nation, but Jehu's not fooled by her. Somebody throw her down. Somebody push her out of that window. Who's on my side? Two or three eunuchs peeked around the corner. He said, throw her down. Throw her down. Throw her down. Throw her down. There's only one way to deal with the spirit of Jezebel. You've got to put it under your feet where it belongs. Come on here. You've got to throw it down. You've got to let the power of God cast it down. Hallelujah. You've got to get it down from its exalted position. It's got to come down from its elevated heights. You've got to throw it down. How many believes what I'm preaching right here? You got to throw it down. Look at somebody and say, throw it down. Look at somebody else and say, throw it down. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I don't know how it's going to go. Amen. From right here on. Let's lift our hands and worship Him just for a minute. Right here. Come on. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we need you.
Saul used a disguise to conceal his identity. Jezebel used artificiality, falsehood, a mask or a disguise to do something far worse. Oh, there's only one thing worse than trying to pretend like you're somebody you're not. And that's just to be brazen and bold and come on, be right who you are, but put on your mask that conceals your intentions. Oh, God. That's a dirty, low-down scoundrel. Come on here. That does things in the secret, behind in the corner, you know, to conceal their intentions. Come on now. Amen. I mean somebody that'll love you. Preacher, let's spend another dollar on you. Preacher, you're the greatest preacher I've ever heard. Amen. Before you get out of the parking lot, you got your knife out. Ready to cut the preacher's throat and ready to see the church go down. Jezebel, you better change your wicked ways. Come on here now. Help the spirit of Jezebel. And then we turned to Revelation chapter 2 and found what I believe to be possibly the worst mask of all. Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Ah, the Lord, search the hearts. Ephesus, you're bought with the blood. Ephesus, you're a wholeness church. Not one amen. I said Ephesus was a wholeness church. Somebody needs some convincing. Ephesus was a wholeness church. Amen.
I know thy works and labor and patience.
All three of those say holy, holy, holy.
How thou canst not bear them which are evil. You won't compromise your convictions. You will not compromise your standard. You will not give a little for the world. You're a holiness church. I feel my popularity waning in South Florida. Amen. I know how that you've tried those who said they were apostles and were not and found them to be liars. Now you can say it ever how you want to, but I'm preaching tonight personally. I believe them fly-by-night preachers that came through the city of Ephesus that claimed to be inspired of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That this holiness church would compare the lives they lived with what scripture they had and what teaching they had, and if their life did not line up with the message that they preached, they would turn them out as false prophets. Amen. Lying apostles. Come on here. That all says you are a holiness church. You're born, you've had patience. Amen. And for my name's sake.
Man, this was a Father, Son, Holy Ghost church. This was a busy, working, motivated, self-supporting, full salary, growing by leaps and bounds. Choir singing, tongue talking, hair slinging church. Come on here now. And by all outward appearances, they had everything going for them. Don't back up on me here now. I told you this is probably the worst mask of all. You see, they was hiding behind something worse than a false mask. Amen. That could be put on and taken off. They was hiding behind religiosity. They was hiding behind their convictions. They was hiding behind the truth. They was doing the things that they knew they should do.
but they was not doing them for the right reasons. Come on here. You hear me tonight, and I'm going to say something. I'm going to lose about half of you right here. Amen. I appreciate these young folks. And we've preached some holiness around here this week. And not just me, but others. And we believe in holiness. And we stand for holiness. And God being our helper, we'll die and go to heaven preaching holiness. Come on here. We believe in an outward standard. We believe in an outward appearance. We believe in long hair and modesty and long sleeves. Come on here. We believe in all of that.
But when that's all we've got, we're no different than the Amish or the Mennonite or the Anabaptist. Come on here. Or all the other groups that have an outward standard and no Holy Ghost power. An outward standard, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. An outward standard, but they're whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Come on here. Ephesus had it all the outward appearances right. Everybody seemed to be in their proper place. And things was rolling right along real good. But Jesus with His eyes like a flaming fire and His sharp two-edged sword. Amen. He saw past the mask. I said He saw past the mask. He looked into the depth of their soul and said, wait a minute. Something ain't right here. Wait a minute. Something's wrong here. Wait a minute. You're doing all the right things, but you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. Right here's where you're going to fall out with me. We've got a whole generation. I'm 32 years old. Amen. I look around here. I don't see any Jezebels. Right offhand, not externally. Amen. I don't see any punk rockers or heavy metalers. Come on here. I don't see any honky-tonkers right off the bat. Amen. But I tell you what I do see. I see the potential of us turning into an Ephesus church. Amen. Just going through the motion. Mechanical and insensitive to the power of working of the Holy Ghost. Just doing it because somebody said that's what we're supposed to do. I know it ain't popular right here. Probably get me in trouble. We're not careful. We're going to turn out a whole generation that only does it because the preacher said do it. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what's wrong with that? Moses came down from the mountain. Deuteronomy the 6th chapter said, hear, O Israel! The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. Jesus was asked, what is the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Hallelujah. Listen, when Joshua had the children of Israel gathered together after the death of Moses in Joshua 22 and 5, he reminded them what their duty was. He said to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto Him and to serve Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. We can't do it just because it seems to be the right thing to do. We've got to do it because we're convinced, amen, of a love that burns in our heart to please Him. David said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in His holy place but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Come on here now. Hey, David talking
depending on God. He said, for their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. You can say what you want to, but it starts in the heart.
Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Plain old everyday South Florida talk. You know what he said? Not changing it or adding to it. You better set a guard at your heart. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't wait out on this limb. But I don't know. I'm kind of a quiet guy. I am. I just kind of come and sit. I like to observe. I like to watch folks. You can learn a lot by keeping your mouth shut. Just looking. I went to some churches and preached things that were so obvious, and the pastor said, man, the Lord had to give you that. I just think it. It's obvious. Come on here. You can go ahead and laugh. You know what I'm talking about. Just plain. Right out in the open. You know what I've observed here this week? That some of you have been coming almost every night. You're not happy. You don't have joy. I don't get too far out here now. I don't want to get in trouble. But it's almost as if you're doing it because you have to. Brother Calwell, think bad of me if I'm not there. So I better go. Hold on. Is that legal for me to say? I hope so. Well, I don't really want to go, but I can swim. I've heard that testimony till I'm sick of it. I wasn't coming today. I didn't really want to be here, but I just made myself do it. Stay at home! Come on here. No half-hearted servant going when the Lord comes. Come on here. You're going to be sold out or you're going to be left behind. Come on here. You're going to be on fire. Come on now. Oh, thank God for them times you picked yourself up by your own bootstraps and made yourself come to the house of God and fell in the altar and prayed through. But there's something wrong when every time the doors are open, you have to struggle and strive and make yourself come to the house of God, and you're never in the altar. You're never. You don't stand up when they're servants. You don't sing the songs of God. You never wave your hand anymore. You never stomp your feet anymore. What's behind your mask? What's going Jesus said, blessed are pure in heart. It's all lost. It. We have to put on his mask. Try to get a hold of something. Jezebel never had it. But she used her mask to still go on, try to get away. Ephesus. There was a time when they had it. But somewhere in all the activity, somewhere in all the labor, somewhere in all the work, but they begin to hide, cloak themselves with their own holiness. You know, in the last 2 years, I've heard more awful, bad reports of gross misconduct among holiness people than the whole 10 years I've been saved. You know, there's homosexualism in us. Hiding behind a standard. Do you know there's swapping wives among us? Hiding behind a standard. Do you know there's children of fornication? But they're hiding behind their standard. Oh God. Where are we headed? And we can sit and have a God with that pretty mask. Never feel condemnation. Never feel conviction. Never feel convenient. We paint it on and wipe it off. Wipe it off and paint it on. And when we're here, we're not really out there, though. Super Christian. Super holy. We've convinced ourselves that we cannot go to the altar, for then somebody might get behind our mask and know what's really been going on. Come on here. I'm going to tell you, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? By the Lord. Thanks, Father. He's looking at me. He's looking at me. Stand with me, would you? What's behind the mask? What's behind your mask? What's behind your mask? What's behind your mask? Jesus said in Matthew 15, those things which come from the heart, that's what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. And these are the things which defile a man. It all starts in the heart. You know what Joel the prophet prophesied? He said that it will come to pass afterwards, saith the Lord, that I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And that's where we've been headed right here in this new camp this week. But the boy never got there. You know what he said in verse 13 of the same chapter? Rid your heart and not your garments. Come on here. Amen. Humble yourself before me. Rid your heart. Break up the fallow ground. Rip out the evil heart that you've got within you. And let the Holy Ghost change and rearrange the heads are bowed all over this building. Please, musicians are coming. There's backsliders here among us tonight. Amen. There's lukewarm people here tonight. Folks that are drifting away from God. There's people here who are suffering from brokenheartedness. The folks who have allowed circumstance and situations to pull them away from God. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you're among them. You're standing right there tonight because of circumstance. your walk with God has begun to fail and grow cold. And you're not as committed to Him as you one time was. Amen. Because this one said one thing, but that one said another. Amen. It's crushed you and wounded you and bruised you. And you have drifted away from your walk with God. But I'll tell you right here tonight, I feel like He's got down past some of your mask. And He's a demon in your heart right here. I wonder if you're here tonight to say, Brother Teed, I'm a backslider. I'm not where I need to be with God. I know that I'm not where I need to be with God. And I'd like to come to that altar and rededicate myself to the Lord. I've drifted away from God. And I want to humble myself right there tonight. It's about please all over this congregation. And folks are praying, you're a backslider. I want you to step out of your pew, please, and come meet me in this altar. In the name of Jesus. You're not where you need to be with God. Come right on, come right on. In the name of the Lord, now's the time.